Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Old Soho.
Old foggy London town.
Foggy, foggy London.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, and welcome back.
Dolls. We're back once again.
Beyond the paywall this time.
Mm-hmm. We've ventured out into the deep blue sea.
Whenever we do a non-paywall episode, it's really us treading water in the inlet. Like, we're really, like, we're out to sea and there's no going back.
I know.
We're exposed
to the elements.
Sharks.
But behind the paywall, I'm committed to making, like, behind the paywall even better than in front of the paywall.
We have a lot going on behind the paywall right
There's
now.
There's literally another universe behind the paywall.
And not to say I don't love, like, the public.
I love the public.
I love Gen Pop.
I love everyone listening to this for free.
Mm-hmm.
You
light
your
up our
listens
lives.
Help somewhat. And I tip my hat to you.
But it feels very like, you know, the current is taking us out and there's no going back. It's very Gattaca when they swim.
Yeah, I don't feel as unmoored. Mm. Maybe because I've been in front of the paywall for almost a decade now.
You've lived your... Laura lives her life
in front of the paywall, but I love to take respite behind the paywall.
It is nice. There's an added luxury of like, just with a few close friends.
Yeah, and I truly do have to toot my own horn just in terms of what the paywall truly has to offer you. Behind there is a treasure trove of content that would take you probably a year to get through.
There is so much going on, even like from before me.
There's
on
like
Sup,
it goes back all the way to like 2017.
Yeah, like it's a real, you know,
it's a hero's journey.
It's kind of like that. Who's the Scrooge McDuck swimming in the coin room?
That's what you're like when you pay me to go behind the paywall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually, you get more than I get.
And right now,
if you really break it down per person.
And we've been recapping Ultimate Girls Trip on the bonus, Roni Legacy. So there's a lot to catch up on even from that season if you haven't watched.
I know. There are great, great things to explore.
And we actually weren't planning on making this like an advertisement thing, but our YouTube is thriving.
Yeah, YouTube's popping the fuck off.
So go check out our YouTube page because it's really, really fun.
Things are really firing on all cylinders.
They are.
But you know who decided to throw her hat in the ring this week and release a podcast episode unpaywalled? Rachel Savannah Levis.
Savannah, I was shocked that that's her middle name.
Fake.
It's a chosen middle name.
I have a lot of theories. I'm like, A, going by three names all of a sudden, like, who do you think you are, Laura Marie Shane Halls? I'm just like, excuse me. Second of all, I'm like, she's going to be releasing an episode, like every episode of Vanderpump Rules season 11. I was like, who do you think you are once again? Sexy Unique Podcast?
She obsessed with us.
I'm like, I'm not trusting it. I'm like, you are taking a really like great approach, a time-tested, audience-approved approach to podcasting.
But I don't appreciate it.
But I'm wondering where your influences came from, Miss Rachel Savannah Levis.
Savannah really is throwing me.
Savannah threw me the fuck off. I literally stopped in my tracks.
There's only ever been like three people named Savannah in history.
I know, and Savannah's actually a very pretty name.
It is. Savannah Guthrie.
That's a less pretty name to me.
But I don't believe that I'm a truther of her middle name.
You think it's chosen?
I think she chose that.
Much like she renamed herself at 6 or 7 years old, she decided that she was Raquel.
That is, to me...
What parent is letting your child do that?
Ring the alarm. Well, she kind of...
That's kind of trans of her, though, to be like, I'm Raquel now.
She's definitely gender... She was, like, experimenting with self... With
she was experimenting within her own gender, what type of woman she was at the age of 6. And I actually have no choice but to respect that.
She was experimenting with femininity. She also took a real swipe at her mom.
Yeah, she said, I don't want to be like my mom.
She goes, I don't ever want to be like my mom. I was like, damn.
Do you think she means her birth mom or her...
I think she meant her adopted mom.
We need to get clear also on the adoption of it all. So I hope they get into that.
I will say the episode started off rocky. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be just her like repeating what she said on Bethany and just, you know, shaky voicing her way through. And it is funny because she has two producers like questioning her, and like it feels very like they're like treating her with kid gloves a little. And it's like, at first I was like, who are these random women? Are they her therapists?
Okay, I'm gonna say.
And then I was like, oh no, they're the producer, the iHeart people. I also was like, at first I was like, I truly didn't know there were multiple people, because I was like, of course she can't do her own podcast. But then I was like,
no, she needs like a coach.
But at first I was like, is she doing different voices? Like I was like, is she doing like dual voice
ventriloquism?
Yeah, is she like possessed and like speaking in like multi voice? Like what if it was just all of Raquel's personalities?
I'm like, why is one producer seemingly on the phone?
Yeah, I was like, let's get the sound quality going.
Can we get in the stew?
Come on, can we all get together?
Like, we get in the stew, aka yeah. My living room.
But I know she's in Phoenix or Tucson or whatever, but, like, they need to, like, get her ass to a studio. Even if it's... I can't handle the sound quality. And I know that they've already recorded the entire season.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
Oh, no, they didn't, because it was a recent...
Yeah, and they're going to be... watching okay. Vanderpump Rules and like responding to
it. Misinformation.
But I'm like, which I do think is a smart business plan for her, because we don't get a person of her
caliber. Caliber.
And with her lore, like watching the show and being like a truther about it. So I actually will be tuning in for probably every episode in the foreseeable future. This somehow is like one of my new podcast obsessions. I never thought I'd be at this place, but I'm listening.
But she, you know, as the episode goes on, like she had a few moments where I was like, is she a loller? She did like,
I think she is in some ways.
She did some funny voices, which I like intentionally, which I appreciated.
Her comedy work is unparalleled.
She's so good at comedy. But no, but just more like in her range. Do you know what I mean? Like I was like, I was impressed. I was like, for her, this is big.
Yeah.
For her, I'm like, she's a fucking bona fide comedian. But at the end of the episode, they saved the best for the last 12 minutes. She describes the night that she and Sandoval fucked for the first time. And it was very different from, or it was way more involved and like nitty gritty than I thought she would go into. And she described it, and I have to say I was clutching my pearls a little. It was a little like, whoa, this is. And it also showed you how Tom groomed her. but how,
stop,
no,
that.
I'm kidding, I'm just using,
okay,
it. How Tom like seduced her. They seduced each other.
They did. I think that she...
But his pickup was so corny. Like, the way he, like, landed the deal was so, like, oh, like...
No, you know, he is, you know, the cheesiest cool... person. And honestly, you have to be kind of a person who, like, doesn't understand a lot of elements of life, I think, to be...
I.e. Raquel?
Yeah. Mm. To be, like, roped in by that.
I mean...
But then I also don't know, because I feel like up until Scandoval, I was like... He is amazing. He's an amazing man.
I mean, we have a TikTok as recent to Scandoball as like the day before where you and I were like, he's a really great guy.
He's an incredible man.
So like we both would fuck him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I think like for this, but to be in the day to day, to be in the day to day nitty gritty of like the Vanderpump Rules universe, like you have a screw loose. So, and then to be roped into that situation and be swept up into this like torrid affair, you have many screws loose and you're halfway to the insane asylum, which is where she ended up.
She was.
But like Sandoval is so cheesy. And really when you hear her talk about it, it really is like, this man is like a bad guy and a fucking liar.
He's a really, really sinister man. And he's like, he's a true fuckboy.
He's committed to lying.
Yeah, he's a liar.
Such a way that it's like, he will, like she mentioned that he started his podcast as a way to get ahead of her starting hers, which I was like, I totally believe that. And I was like, damn, like, you're that kind of person where you're so calculated and concerned about what everyone else is saying that you're going to go have some creative endeavor based off of them. Like, that is loser behavior.
He's a fucking loser. And everything about his sort of lead in to getting her to have sex with him, not that he coerced her, but I'm just saying, like, everything about it felt very, like, fraught and, like, a setup. Like, I was like, this is a fucking setup.
This is a fucking setup.
Like, he jumbled, he, like, tried to, I don't believe that the doors were locked. He said, oh, I can't get in. I guess we'll have to, you know what I mean? Like, and then.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But it's just wild to me that, and the details of them swimming and her playing music on her phone while Ariana's, like, upstairs. I was like, damn, she must have, like, noise machine on, blackout shades down. I was like. Because I, you know what I mean? Like that, they were pretty bold.
But if you're truly like uninvested, I think we haven't gotten the full story really from like we got some of Ariana's perspective, but I also am like, this relationship seemed really torched. Like if you guys aren't fucking, if you're in a relationship where you're not fucking anymore, period, something is wrong. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And
unless you have an agreement where you're like, we're not fucking by choice and we're going to go like fuck other people or something.
But we love each other and we'll stay in it.
We're both fine with never having sex with each other again, maybe once a year only, and you're both like totally comfortable with that, then that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if like you're not fucking and one person is wanting to fuck and the other person is like, no, then there's something wrong in the relationship.
Yeah, and I think this idea of like the house is just so big.
It is kind of big.
I know. Listen, as we've established, this
is a 5-bedroom house. That's big.
And we talked about it. You know, they're in a lawsuit now. Like this is the biggest house that's ever that existed in in LA. Like this is Aaron Spelling house.
It's a huge house.
It's a bona fide chateau.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I do think I agree with you. I think like. The fact that they were able to get away with this and be like basically skinny dipping at 4 a.m. while his significant other is upstairs tucked away in bed sleeping shows that there is a disconnect happening.
Yeah.
And I think it was bound to happen. I think Sandoval was planning that for it to happen. And I think he was one step ahead of her. I'm not saying he like, this was consensual. She wanted it too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying I don't think that her brain functions in a way where like
there's not a lot of critical thinking
or forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's very calculating. I do. I think his like whole like, hey man, like I think he's a big dummy in a lot of ways, but I think he's cunning though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was like, we're gonna fuck.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing was a fucking setup. And the locked doors, I just don't believe. The sliding door isn't working. I guess we'll just have to chill. Best thing about this pool,
there's a fire pit nearby.
It's heated. And then they were, the detail that they were both, she was kind of like bopping around in the shallow end and he was swimming like a shark in the deep end. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Gross. And then they fucked in a car in Valley Village.
The whole thing is just very like Raquel's summer of delusion. And I need to know, like, I need, she does sound like freshly.
Mango.
He's on the loose. The most unprofessional dog.
I know. But he's so cute.
Where's he off to?
I think to drink a little water.
Mm-hmm. To you know slop what? It up in there.
She kind of hinted at how she was drinking a lot extra to like anesthetize the pain. But I also want to like, they need to talk about more. This is Molly behavior.
Yeah.
This is MDMA brain. MDMA brain is not talked about enough. I think Raquel and Tom were on a lot of drugs when they were fucking all the
time.
Yeah,
there were like galaxy lights at play.
They were rolling and like fucking. I think a lot of their affair was on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents.
I get that.
You know, like I think they were like aware of what they were doing, but I think they were, it was definitely exacerbated. And I think that's not going to be talked about because it's still like taboo to talk about drug use. But I think she put some holes in her brain.
Yeah.
She needs to be fucking real, Savannah. You need
Rachel
to come
correct. Savannah Levis, be real about the drug.
Come correct. Mango, get over here.
Good. You came to daddy.
You're airlifted. Back to the couch where you belong.
Nice sweet potato. I knew a dog named Potato.
Me too.
Really?
I know a pug named Potato. I need them to take Rachel through...
Step by step.
Every...
You need every single detail.
I need every single detail of like what was going through your head when... this happened. What about this day? Like how she was able to compartmentalize, like the fact that I'm sleeping with this person and then like
filming
I'm also
her.
Filming with this other person who is their significant other and like what is going on. Like I get that she was like at the time in love with Tom, but I also am like maybe we won't even get those answers in the way that we seek because they did ask her like what did you think was going on in Tom and Ariana's relationship? And she was like, well, he said he was not sleeping with her. And then I went to her and I tried to ask her if that was true because I really wanted to know. And it happened to be on camera. I was like, wait, but the way that you're even approaching this is like, it's crazy that you did that on camera.
Yeah, it wasn't like she... It wasn't this like...
It's not like offline. You're like, yeah. Hey, girl, can we go get lunch? Like, let's talk about filming and like blah, blah, blah. And I just like want to hang. Or like you're at their house and you're just like chilling and you're like, hey, want to come to the bathroom with me? Like
you interrogated her in front of cameras.
As the cameras rolled.
And made her look like an idiot in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And like what was going through your head when you did that? And I don't know if there's actually like... much cognizance.
No, that was chilling behavior, I think.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't think she's like the brightest bulb and I don't think she like intentionally tries to be sinister, but like that, she acted like that was like...
She was like, no, I tried to understand that, like not without the acknowledgement of like how fucked up that actually is.
You went and asked someone... Yeah, it's like remains the most stunning moment, I think, of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like earlier hours before Tom was probably like inside her. And here she is at an event for her, this person's new venture.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
But like asking her about her sex life with the man that she's, you know what I mean? Like it still remains... shunking.
It's very shunking.
But the way that she's sort of normalized it, the producers are like, totally. And I know like that's their job to like...
You know what? I'm irritated that one of the producers doesn't know anything about Vanderpump Rules. Because
yeah.
I'm like, how deep can you really go if you don't understand the intricacies of this world?
The younger one is like a fan.
It seems like she's like more in the know, yeah.
But it's giving like Bethany being like, by the way, I haven't watched the show. I haven't watched any... It's like,
I'm so
fuck
sick of
you.
People weighing the fuck in who haven't been in these trenches from the jump.
See yourself out. The one thing I was really interested in was the whole Dave Portnoy... The Barstool guy. That was interesting. And that was like sad because Rachel was blamed for his demise of his relationship because they happened to be in the same town in Illinois around
the
same
time.
And Rachel was like,
when your whoring ways give you that much lore that people are ready to like blame you for just another relationship based on the fact that you're in the same town as one, that's power, honestly.
She's truly heterosexual boogeyman. She's El Cuco for straight women. But Rachel was like, I've never met this man. I didn't even know who he was.
And I believe that if Rachel shows up in the same city of you, your relationship as you know it is over. Whether or not she has anything to do with it, it is like, it's a sign from the gods that it's the end.
You need to like mark your house with lamb's blood so she won't.
You do
pass by.
I know. If she like, so if she you will and pass her by, set I mean. Foot into the same like locale in the same 24 hours,
alert,
your relationship is going under.
But she was like, I've never heard of this guy. I'd heard of Barstool, but like, I didn't know who the fuck this guy was. And then he was quoted by saying, he was asked if we had had an affair, and he said, like, I wouldn't.
I've never met that trash bag.
He called her like a whore bag, basically, which I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That just like, I mean, she took it well, I think. She was like kind of lolling about it because she was like, that says more about him than me. But that's unfortunate that this is now she's being blamed. Like, it's like.
That's really hurtful from like a stranger and a man to like weigh in yeah. that way is like that, kind of disgusting.
And specifically that.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Disgusting behavior.
And specifically that motherfucker, that piece of shit, Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we'll.
And like, you make a lot of money off of women being whores and laughing about it. So let's like back it the fuck up.
Check your privilege. So we'll have eyes on Miss Savannah.
I'll be listening.
I'm going to call her Savannah from now on.
I like that. But I'm truly like, in this day and age, if you haven't been on like the precipice of suicide and then found Vanderpump Rules and watched and healed your life along with their lives going up in flames, I don't want to fucking hear from you.
Like the producer?
Yeah, like I don't want, you don't weigh in anymore.
No.
You're out of this conversation. You can talk about it with your friends. You can talk about it like with your family. But like, don't come into this sacred space with like no knowledge.
So basically what we're saying is she needs us.
Yeah. I would love to get her on the couch and grill, but also laugh and maybe cry and reveal things. Tell radical truths. What? I just can't get over Sandoval being so committed to lying that he literally will like start a podcast just to lie. That's so much work.
Men be starting podcasts in order to lie.
Like, what? At this point, the jig is up. You might as well just be like, yeah, say all the douchey things that you did, and then you can freely start over. That's the crazy thing about liars to me, is like, at any time, you could just tell the truth, and you could just be real and be like, yes, I did this, and like, own all of it, and then you truly do have a clean slate to start over.
But that's, you're acting like they operate in a way that like, people, you know what I mean? Like, they don't, that's not how they operate. They,
I know, but
they
it's
get off
such a commitment.
Well, that's part of it. They like the work it takes to go into lying.
But he thinks that he's fooling people. That's the also the crazy
because
thing is like, you've never fooled a single person except for us for a little bit, but then the jig was up and now we know. I just
he's
like
a,
can't
he's a bit of a Pied
it.
Piper.
Bravo does really call in like a committed liar vibe.
Oh, well, we see on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one more thing you wanted to talk about?
Let's see.
Or should we just get into
let's
it?
Let's check the list. There's actually, like, I feel like not that much to discuss in this reunion episode.
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of a, sorry. I mean, it wasn't going to be as good as what we just seen.
Lindsay Lohan emerged onto the Mean Girls red carpet.
She looked incredible. So the Mean Girls musical is coming out this week, the movie.
I'm excited, honestly.
I'm excited, too. Lindsay showed up, surprise, in New York.
That's a welcome surprise.
She looked...
From Long Island's own.
From Merrick.
Lindsay Lohan.
She looked truly incredible.
Yeah, she looked great.
She got that Dubai plastic surgery.
I'm worried about the nose jobs that she's getting because the nose is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm like willing her to stop at this point.
She'll be able to fix it.
Babe.
I know.
You only have so much cartilage. You only have so much that you can even farm from like other areas.
It's entering Jackson a little.
It's like on the precipice. It's on the brim of Jackson. And I'm just like, enough is enough. It's small enough. Trust.
But her hair looks voluminous and great.
Everything was firing on all cylinders.
What was the dress? What?
I don't know. I don't know the details. I was just happy to see her. And I said, God bless the Federation.
And so they said, someone goes, Lindsay, are you a cool mom? And she went, oh, I help. She's sober.
Hopefully.
She looks, I worry
for her.
I'll
never not be worried for her. Speaking of someone committed to
lying. I'm on the broom.
She was one that was like, she's been committed to the bit for ages. And I just hope that she like, I wish her well. I do. And I'm always happy to see her. And I said, the Federation is very proud of our own Lindsay Lohan.
Speaking of on the brim, I'm always on the brim of Lindsay. Like, I hold my breath every time I see her, every time she doesn't. Like, she's to me so...
She's precious. I don't want to lose her, but I also want, like, more Lohan Island.
That's gone. She will never... Like, she is now in... She's married to, like, a very wealthy family. Like, I think they're keeping her, like, on the straight and narrow. She's got a baby
I like
now.
Her also just imagining her as like a good Muslim wife.
She's either converted or she's just like maybe adopted values, but whatever she's done, it's fucking working. And I'm grateful for whatever she's done to do this, take this life change. She has sober face. I see the glow.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she's working a program or she's just sober, something's working. And whatever it is, please God.
Maybe it's the miracle of life.
Please God, stay on this path. And I pray she stays on this path.
I think we're in a good place.
Yeah. No, I think I think
one never knows truly, but like, I think it's entering a good place. I love this like construction that's happening right now. Never ends.
Club Chalamet.
I'm so over like this. I'm over like Selena Gomez's drama.
Oh, she took another.
Of course she did.
Selena Gomez has taken another break. She's announced another
perpetual
break from social
victim. Selena Gomez has decided to flee social media once again to just preserve her mental health.
I'm tired of her ass.
I'm over it.
I'm sorry. That whole
surf cunt or shut up.
Shut up. That whole lip reading of like what she was telling Taylor. She apparently like got denied a photo with Timmy by Kylie, but. You know what? Maybe they were just busy. Maybe Kylie didn't want...
Maybe some people don't want to take a picture with you. And that's fine. And, like, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Why are you asking? Why are you asking?
I feel like...
You know what I mean? Like, just, like...
Not...
Enjoy. Why don't you come to an event, enjoy yourself.
Enjoy.
And then be with your girlfriends. And then leave. And, like, go home and go to bed.
You're sitting next to Meryl Streep at a table on a show that you're on with Meryl Streep. Like, just...
It's always something. It's always something with that one.
I can't help but feel it's a little about... Somehow is related to Bieber.
Because
Kylie's friends with...
Kylie's friends with Kendall, who's best friends with Justin.
Kylie's
Haley.
Friends with Kendall.
Oh, yeah. Kylie's... Well, they are kind of friends now, too. But, like... It all goes back to the beef from last year of like eyebrow gate, which Selena actually started, if you want to get into the nitty gritty of like making fun of Hailey Bieber's like makeup routine and then doing her like eyebrows in a funny way. And then Kylie went on.
Or Kendall.
No, Kylie and Hailey like went on and. I think it was TikTok and like showed their eyebrows all brushed up and they were like, I can't believe like, and people thought that they were like attacking Selena. Like this was literally like fans went crazy with each other.
But
they pushed all the fans to a level of insane asylum. And then it became like Hailey Bieber is evil. She's like always had it out for Selena. Selena is blameless. And just like, when will people stop going after her, our queen? And I'm like, this woman, literally her bread and butter when it comes to this shit is like making situations for people to feel bad for her. And I don't like that behavior. I think that is like weird.
If you're like, why would, okay, just on like a normal level, like non-famous level, like you go up to someone who is dating someone a person who is best that... friends with your tumultuous ex-boyfriend who is married. Like, Kylie is best friends with Hailey Bieber, who is the wife of Selena's, like, longtime torrid, like, why would you think, and they have a very weird strange, like, Hailey and Selena clearly don't like each other, so it's like, why would you assume going up, like, Kylie's like doesn't feels uncomfortable being around you, why
yeah,
is that,
like, doesn't want to be in the mix, like, doesn't want, like, it's could, fine to be like, I don't want my boyfriend
to take a photo with this person,
yeah, because I like just don't like, no, this is not what this night is about for us. We're here to, like, tongue fuck at the table for this boring ass ceremony so we can go the fuck home and fuck. Like, get away from us.
And Kylie probably didn't want to have to deal with, like, the fans. You know what I mean? So analyzing, and, like, she probably was like, I'm just here to watch my, like, Wonka boyfriend, like, do his thing and wear shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Selena going back, you could tell Taylor's so sick of Selena's act. Like, Taylor was like, wow.
I didn't watch the video, but I can just imagine. Like,
Selena goes up to Taylor and some other girl who's like, I don't know. I was like,
that's
who's
Miles Teller's girlfriend or wife that is like besties with Taylor.
Oh, well, she was very involved in the drama. But sure, Selena is telling Taylor, you can see her. She was like, I got denied. And you just see Taylor kind of go like this. She doesn't care either.
No, she's like, honey, you have a fucking boyfriend. Like, stop being, like, just sit down and, like, chill with the girls.
She can't.
Why are you starting drama?
She can't help
I'm
it.
Telling you,
it's
she has perpetual drama starter. She starts the drama and then acts like a victim.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
You're a fucking loser.
It's loser behavior.
It's loser behavior. Sorry.
I'm sorry. And sorry to the Selenators. Or
I don't think a lot of Selenators listen to Sup, but if you do, welcome. It's hard to hear a truth
you don't
really like, but you need to know.
I felt really happy for myself when I finally posted in the fall at some point that Selena Gomez was the most annoying celebrity of our time. And I felt like really scared to post it because I feel like there's this like weird coddling of her. And as soon as I post it, flood of messages of people. I agree. Everyone agrees, but everyone's been afraid to say anything because she has like lupus.
Yeah, but you can have lupus and still be annoying. Both of those things can be true.
Yeah.
Like, stop acting like that. Just be like grateful and like happy to be somewhere and like
love and light to her.
Yeah, stop starting.
You can be bipolar and like mental that she talks about and be a cool person.
Yeah, and have
most
like
people
live
who
your life and have like a fun time and like be a happy individual that's like not perpetually seeking out rejection and victimhood. Like, you will be stronger and more people like you if you behave yourself in like a social
behave yourself.
My God.
Young lady.
Imagine doing that in a place.
I can't imagine doing that being the most
I'm just
one of the most famous people in the world.
Poor
and doing
Taylor.
That. I know. She went, wow.
Wow, okay.
She's stuck with her.
She can't turn her back now. Mm-hmm. She has to be.
She is that friend.
Once you get in with someone that is like addicted to their own victimhood and their sad life and lifestyle, mm-hmm. like once you've become like fully inner circle, like the process of like divorcing yourself from them is so difficult. You're
truly
either stuck with them or you're going to have to like deal with the fallout of like cutting them off. And now it's just like being stuck with this. Like, I don't wish it on anyone. I don't wish it on anyone.
Selena has almost like a little Brandy Glanville vibes.
It's a little
like in terms of being like, we talked about how like, You give her like a coin to, she's like, hey, I'm out of change. Like, can I just, you have like a nickel for the parking meter? And then once you get, remember we talked about that? And then
yeah.
she's, and then you'll never get rid of her.
It's like that, but it's like with attention or like, she to me seems like the kind of person who like there's just always like can't be happy. There's just always something bad happening.
I'm imagining you with your arms crossed going, There's always something.
There's
with
always
you.
Something. You know, everyone knows those people where they're like in a pickle or something, and you're like, well, at least like XYZ, you know, or like at least you have this thing going. Yeah. And they're like, well, not actually, because like blah blah blah. It's like such downer vibe.
Does she have anyone being like, shut the fuck up?
She could use someone being like, bitch, shut the fuck up and be grateful. Like, it's not that serious.
Or be cool.
Yeah, just like chill.
Chill the fuck out.
You're on a hit show that people like. I don't know why.
You're the most followed person on Instagram. Like,
yeah, you have it all. And you're committed to just perpetually being like victimized.
She's the face.
It's not adding up.
She's the face.
Your beauty brand is like the most popular beauty brand in the world. Again, unclear on why. It's like you have had time. You have gift after gift after gift of things. Like, the universe really wants you to win. It really truly does with her.
It just shows you, like,
and it's, she is committed to being wronged. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's asylum.
I say this with love. Like, I want her to win. Like, I'm like,
I want her to be happy.
I want her to be happy. I think she can, like, she has served a few, met some times in her.
She's had some good songs.
She's had some great songs, but I wish.
I'm
sick. I wish I could be her friend for a day and just be like, not in like the like, girl, get you like gay way, but just be like, Selena, come on.
With Love and Light, I take many, many steps back from being her friend.
Just for a day.
But like, I pray that her publicist.
At least her publicist.
Please, her publicist. Just please get her to change this narrative. Please change the narrative to like how happy she is and how great things are and how fun life is. And like, wow, this is wonderful. And like, happiness. Like, publicist, please. Please.
You're right. Publicist. Please, please, please. Speaking of publicists.
Everyone arrives at the Real Sick Reunion.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Salty,
Sexy, Unique Podcast.
Publicist.
Salty Utah Publicist.
Publicist. The women all are in New York.
It was a thrill to see them step out of Escalades in the streets of Manhattan.
Well, Meredith walks up because she lives in New York.
Oh, yeah.
She pretend lives in Utah. She's...
I forgot about that.
She literally lives in
New
York.
That's honestly a flex.
They all get out of their cars. They all walk up. And as they walk up, you hear like echoes of the last episode on the beach party, dinner party. And you hear, you're a liar, 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 liar. Like reverb.
I do have to say that Monica is super compelling as the villain of the show.
For sure.
Like, it made her all... I've always known that she was a villain, but like, now that we all are on the same page about it, I'm like, this is Staub level. I think she has one more incredible season, Staub vibes, and then it's a flame out.
Andy doesn't like her.
Who would?
No, but I really picked up on that. Like, Andy.
Well, she's like truly biting the hand. Like, she does not understand life. She's deeply mentally ill, I think, too.
Yeah. I worry for her. I worry for her children.
She might be crazier than LD.
I think she is.
I think she is. And that's like the that's honestly the scariest realization that I had was I was like, wait. This woman's actually crazier than one of the craziest women I've ever seen on television.
Monica's kind of giving the energy of that candle review woman from like 12 years ago from Oshkosh. You know what I'm talking about? The Yankee Candle woman who like has this sweet, sugary voice and then descends into like pure rage and mania. It's giving that. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's starting. She's drinking.
I got this new water bottle. This was my old faithful, and I had a water bottle like this, and then I lost it.
My old faithful.
So I ordered a new one, and they've improved the design. It's even better than the old one.
You better get drinking.
I know. I am behind schedule.
Yeah, you're certainly behind.
I'm a few hours behind.
This set is a piece of shit.
This set is truly Yo ho, hands, hoist the runners high.
It's kind of giving.
It's
giving Waiting for Guffman a little, like, nothing ever happens on Mars. It's giving, like, school middle school play. Like, I'm thinking about all the other sets, like, that someone had a comparison of the OC that had that green screen where it was, like, this, like, gorgeous simulated, like, backdrop. And then this is, like, what the fuck is going on?
The set designer went off. I'm into it.
No, like, I admit to it, too.
I love, like, a surprise shipwreck. Like, and to put an anchor in the middle of the room.
But it's, you have to admit, it's a little sloppy.
It's North Sea vibes.
Yo.
All hands.
Hoist the banners. Boom, boom.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose, it saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Too Niche is back for a new year of hauls and lols.
And this week, we're reviewing and skewering the 2024 New York Times trend predictions.
Some may say it's the year of the dragon, but our friends over at the New York Times have deemed it the year of soup. And if that's not a sign that peasant era is truly underway, then I don't know what is.
You know what's great for peasants? Podcasts, because they're free. So tune in this week to Too Niche wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lisa says they ask about Jen Cha being gone. They, Andy, them.
Well, they all arrive. They all arrive. Everyone's Lisa, Heather, and Whitney gather in the freight elevator going up to set. And Whitney goes, let's do a prayer. And they all gather. And she goes, Archangel Saint Michael, please pray for us.
Wow.
And then they all sit down. And Andy goes, so I'm told that this is the first time you've all been together since the Bermuda trip. And they all nod. And then Monica goes, well, Andy, I think they have been together without me. And he goes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, Monica, shut up.
Shut the fuck
up. Please shut up. She's kind of Selena.
She's a Selena a little bit, yeah. Same vibes.
Yeah, they talk about Jen. And kind of like Heather was saying, we were all a little worried that the fans wouldn't be as into the show without the, like, truly
unhinged beast of a woman.
Homeland security.
A threat to the security of the United States itself. Jen Cha was not on the show. And Lisa goes, we had her back. We always had her back.
And I forgot that even leading up to the day of Jen going into the court in New York and pleading guilty, she told them that she was innocent and that she was pleading.
She even after she was like, I pled guilty, but I'm innocent. She still to this day is like, I'm innocent. Commitment.
I'm still thinking of, hi, this is Susan from So and So Marketing calling about your credit cards on files. It's giving. Jen was sort of giving that incredible TikTok person who does, I'm CEO, you know, the CEO woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your bills have been affected, young man. That's Jen.
At the bank.
Mm-hmm. Knocking on the bank, but it's too early to open. And she goes, your bills have been affected, young man. That's Jen. She called these old people and said, your bills have been affected. And they literally went, oh, God. Once you tell an old person that their bills have been affected, they will give.
Old people are still paying bills, like, on paper.
I know, they will.
My mom literally was like, I have to go to, like, City Hall to, like, write a check to someone to pay this bill. And I was like, you know, like, you can do everything online, but elderlies would love to, like, write a carbon copy of a check and, like, hand deliver it to, like the postmaster general.
They like the old credit card machines where they go, Your mom literally rode her way to the courthouse. Yo.
She would love, like, if you told her, like, you'll have to ride this to, like, the train station and hold the mailbag while so the train can go by and they can grab the mailbag, like, in the 1800s, she'd probably do it.
Yeah.
If you were like, you have to do, the only ways to pay this bill are either just, like, log online and create your account and like pay it online.
Yeah.
Or you have to go on horseback.
Yeah.
With a covered wagon. to fucking Ohio and hand deliver it during business hours to the secretary. She'd be like, let's get the horses strapped. She would rather.
It's kind of giving like Lord of the Rings. Like, They have to have a guild.
They love an adventure when it comes to paying a bill. They love, the more adventure involved, the better.
But
they want to set out on the open road.
They no, it's giving like Viking ship.
So if you call them and you're like, your bills have been affected.
Your bills have been affected, young man. And this 80-year-old like Vietnam War veteran probably gets like a flashback and like is like, oh shit, and forks over half his fortune. That's what Jen was literally doing.
It is so fucked
so
up
mean.
To just go after like elderly people who have no clue what's even going on.
No, they're some of the most vulnerable people in our, like, she is an evil, depraved human. I'm like, you have to be going after children or old people. You have to be like the most depraved human possible.
We don't talk enough about like how truly vulnerable the elderly are.
They are.
At any time, you could like steal from them. You could steal their entire livelihood from them at any
it's
passing
really scary.
Moment. They're at risk 24/7.
And our society, like, literally,
they're like, you're disgusting.
They exile them into like oblivion, and
no,
then they spend the rest of their lives being targeted by scammers, and then they like, or like,
the second you show a wrinkle, you're fucking cast out of society. You're literally like filthy to everyone. You get thrown, you like have to go on Medicare, which is not good health care. You like have to do it. They pay for nothing. You're literally just like trying not to die and try, you either are gonna spend all your money on
trying not to die
and trying not to die, or Jen Shaw's gonna take it from you and society's gonna turn their back on you because you're hunched over, your bones are shrinking.
The last 5 years have been really tough for elderly people in America and around the world, but specifically talking about America, with COVID being siloed in their like little nursing home rooms and being targeted by Jen Shah.
The biggest threat to elderly people,
COVID and Jen
prior
Shah.
To Jen Shah's conviction, were literally COVID and Jen Shah.
Totally. So now they're safe from one thing,
but they're not safe from Monica.
No. I want to kill that person.
I'm gonna just debt the fucking vest.
Whitney
says, I feel like I always took a stance on Jen and wanted to know the truth. And she kind of did, I guess.
Remember she was like, she was spelling out everything to them, like in the bus. That when she was like, she is the one that explained. She knew.
She did know.
Wait, also, let us not forget, we get to Monica. They do like a whole thing about Monica. As bad as Jen was, Monica was a rat.
She's a rat.
She's a
rat. Dirty rat.
She talked to the feds. And no matter what your crime, if you were...
You don't rat.
You don't rat. And she, especially while pretending to be a person's friend, you're a rat.
You're a fucking rat. You used her, the worst kind of person, actually. You used this woman to get a leg up, to get on the show, and then ratted on her.
Mm.
You have no moral compass.
I wrote, once a rat, always a rat.
Always a rat. If Monica ended up... ever ends up in prison, which seems like a total possibility for her.
Smackdown.
It's fucking
Jen
curtains.
Shaw will like she,
Jen Shaw like
she
I
put
believe,
the word out.
Oh, she will put the word out, and you'll it's solitary confinement for you for your own safety.
We got a cut of her telling Lisa, "Go away, old lady," and then Lisa going, "She wishes she was me at this age." And then they cut back to Lisa, and she just like snort laughs at her own joke. She cracks herself up.
She does. Andy goes, Monica, do you want to be Lisa? And Monica goes, no. And I was like,
yeah, you do.
Shut the fuck up. You would love, I would love to be Lisa.
Me too.
Like, in a nut, like, I feel like I astral project and become Lisa when I'm watching her.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much I want to be her.
Lisa says she was so upset about her missing ring because, and we didn't get this backstory, so I'm like, slightly dubious. I'm going to believe my queen, but...
How dare you question the queen?
But she says that the ring is so important to her because it represents, it's a gift that John gave her to her when Jack was born. I guess he had complications and like almost
Henry.
Didn't make... Henry. I thought it was Jack and then Henry was the miracle baby. Oh, okay.
Henry almost died after I had him and John gave me that ring. I get rings for different things at different times and this was a very sentimental one.
And Monica goes, okay, well, that's really beautiful and I didn't know that. So I just thought you were mad about it. And I was like, shut up. You stole it.
Shut up, you bitch. You stole the fucking ring.
So they talk about the rumors and nastiness about Monica stealing the ring. Ringu. This is Ringu.
This is Ringu.
And she thinks one of the women planted the story.
They make a good point where they're like, the way you act, it's very believable that you would steal a ring. Because you're a fucking psychopath. And like, that's what she doesn't understand.
No, that's what is like scary about someone like her is like Jen, she doesn't see, she's like.
You hang out with garbage, you start to stink.
It's true.
It's true. Monica says, why would anyone like me? Like Andy was talking about, like, it was very real of you to say to your mom that you felt like you had to buy a purse to fit in. I was like, bring this like fake Louis Vuitton purse. I thought we had gotten away from that. I was so happy to not see that anymore.
Andy talked about, Andy like has mentioned that several times. He was very affected. He was very touched by that moment.
Imagine going, wow.
It's like such like a rich, famous, like.
It's a really rich, famous person to be like, oh my God.
You're so real.
That's so vulnerable and real.
Want to know what I thought when I heard that story?
Yeah. Want to know what I thought? I was like, this is a setup. This is a fucking setup. Also, I was like, that purse is fake.
Speaking of Vicky going, she retorted.
What did she say? Oops, sorry, dogs. I'm Nick.
Tamara posted a...
I wonder if I should just ask them to stop for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, we've like 25 minutes left. Maybe you go say something. Yo ho. Yo ho. Your bills have been affected, young man. Thanks for handling that. Like a boss. Like a girl boss.
Like a fucking
the
girl
CEO.
Boss.
CEO.
Sorry if you guys had to hear that background noise. I made them stop or relocate to another zone.
Listen, we live in a thriving city.
Look, I'm just a independent podcaster trying to do my business.
This is our stew. It's just...
This is the stew, which happens to also be my living room. It's a little bit chouse in here today.
I walked in and I went, ooh,
books.
Library.
I do read them.
This is very like, I don't have furniture, but I have books.
I know, it very is that. I'm finding a new place for them because I got this other piece of furniture for over there. So I'm like moving things around. So just bear with me. You know, I'm not perfect. I may seem perfect.
This is perfect.
That's a ruse. Yeah.
Come here. Yeah, Monica. I could see, sorry to say, I could see Monica swiping a ring.
I could see it too.
Monica goes, I take back what I said, Lisa. You're not in the 1%. She goes, that's like Shaquille O'Neal. I went, great reference. Yeah. What are you, what is this, 1998?
Most insane reference.
Lisa goes, and then I feel like Lisa was so offended by that. I am the 1%.
Okay, I guess you're trying to make a dig, but, and she goes, no, I did research. Like, I was really wrong about that. I'm like, Monica, you think you're so, this is the thing that kills me is like, she thinks she's so smart. She really thinks like, in these moments, she's like, got ya. And well, it's like, you haven't. You're just airing your own self out.
Well, that's also why I loved Andy sort of like swiping back at her. Because he was like, he basically was saying, I know what you're trying to do. And it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
When she kept being like, well, blah, 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 and he was like, yeah, no.
Like, what also irks me about her is that she's someone that will come at you saying like you said this or you said that, which is something you didn't say. Like she'll tell you what you said and then when you're like, no, actually, like blah blah blah, then she will go, I'm not gonna fight with you about this. And it's like, then why the fuck are you opening your mouth and saying anything?
Shut your goddamn mouth.
Shut your whore mouth.
And then Then Angie starts talking, and then she goes, "Why are you even talking, bench?
You bench-warming bitch."
She goes, This doesn't involve you like most of the season."
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, I was like,
she ate.
She Monica ate. She got her ass.
She ate her up.
She did.
Angie K cannot come up against Monica. Like, Monica will shut her ass down.
But Angie K, to her credit, she's sort of impenetrable. Like, she doesn't really...
Because she's such a pillar of the community and she knows it.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, whenever Angie K talks about what a pillar of the community she
Everyone
is,
laughs.
It just kills me.
I also love when she said, "What, a Greek person can't be successful?"
I just love her. Like, her reputation is so good and she's such a pillar and she's just built this like reputable business, and she probably has and is, but there's just something about it that like kills me. Lisa, they're talking about her ring. They're like, "It's $60,000 ring." She goes, "It was $58,000 actually. Just want to clear that up." She goes, "I really miss that ring. I want it back. I think about that ring. I have all these other rings. Like, I'm wearing rings right now. But really, I want that ring and I miss it. And I wish I had it."
You know who Monica kind of reminds me of? Jennifer Aiden. They have similar energy. I feel like if they were together, they would, like, kill each other.
Be too chaotic. And what if they put them on a girls' trip together?
Oof.
They would team up and they would be, like... Sisters, you've been on my mind. Oh wait, I did see Color Purple this weekend. Actually.
Did you like it?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it.
The music
was
great.
There were times when I liked it, and there were times when I slept, and there were times when I didn't know what was going on.
Was the music great?
There were times when I was scared and shocked, and then there were times when I teared up. It took me. It was a roller coaster.
I'm gonna see it.
See it
alone.
See it.
I will.
Fantasia is amazing in it.
She's
really good.
She's a star.
She's a star.
And
Everyone's
Danielle.
Actually really good in it. Everyone slays.
And I love
Taraji.
I love Coleman Domingo.
I know. But it was a journey.
Monica helped. So Andy's is like, "Can you explain more of your relationship with Jen? Like, how did you start working for her?" She basically says that she started helping Jen for free.
So she was friends with Jen, and then Jen needed help with, like, her life, like, another assistant. And then Monica started working for her. And I loved Andy going, "So you took time away from your kids to work for Jen for free?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, I love that shady question. But I'm also like, yeah, because your oldest daughter is actually the mother of your children.
And she goes, "Well, I was married then, so it wasn't like so dire that I needed to always be with them." But I was like, this is... So they basically are like, "We caught you. You were just butting up to her because you wanted to be on the show."
Yeah, or like agreeing to be with her all the time because you saw it as an in. And then Heather goes... "I would love for you to hear something you said." And Monica goes, "I would love to hear you read it." And Lisa goes, "I think we're actually going to listen."
They knew it. And it's a voice note of her saying, "Remember, Kim Kardashian was an assistant too. And look at her now, bitch." I was like, all right.
Liar.
But I'm like, Monica, again, as bad as Jen was, it's dastardly to be a rat for the feds. Sorry, FBI sucks. They're bad people, and they bring in people, and it's giving. Like,
I also wonder, Diana, why was she a rat? Like, what was she trying to protect?
She took a deal.
Know something and then had to take a deal to like rat her out, and that's what we like don't know about. Because if you're I just think it's really sketchy to align yourself with a criminal and like be their friend and work for them for free. You can't tell me you're not getting something out of that, and or that you like know things or are aiding them in their thing. So I wonder if it was like, "Oh, I'm going to volunteer this information," or if it's like you're caught doing something and then you're trying to save yourself by being a rat.
And then it's revealed that she contacted the casting directors of the show and were like, "Your show sucks. The ratings are going down." And then Andy doesn't like that, obviously,
And then they show the actual email that she wrote. And it was like, hi, my name is Monica. I love your show. And I think you need a feisty Latina to like weigh in. And it was like nothing like she represented. A liar.
Liar. And then she goes, I mean, I did what any of you did. I contacted casting and then Lisa and then Angie goes, I wasn't cast. I just was recommended. And then Lisa goes, I was the one who was like pleading for a show to be in Utah. So like, I didn't need to audition.
I brought the show to Utah. I'm obsessed with her. I met someone recently and had dinner with a girlfriend of mine. And she was saying like, I was at Sundance for a job and everywhere I went, Lisa Barlow was there. Every single place I was, turn around, there was Lisa Barlow. I was like, she is the queen of Sundance.
She really is.
And boots on the ground, there's a report live from Sundance. Lisa is there.
She's there.
I want to go to, should we go to Sundance?
Sure. It's like next month, right?
It's soon. It might even be like in a week.
It's like tomorrow.
It is like happening now. We need to go.
I feel like it's always Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talk about everyone else's issues. Meredith and Whitney, they're sort of like up and down relationship this season.
Whitney's low-key had beef with everyone this season.
She did.
The Wild Rose has gone rogue.
I love the clip of Meredith going, don't you dare. She goes, that child will be disabled for the rest of his life.
We're talking about children who will be disabled for the rest of their lives.
Don't you dare. And then every time she says something, she goes, she has the exact transcript of everything she said.
Andy goes, wow, you're bringing your purse with you. And she goes, well, I have a lot of things that I need to read.
I took notes, but I was kind of like, the whole rest of this was like in my head. It was like undulating. It wasn't really like.
Yeah.
I basically know that Whitney confirms her and Justin are fine now. And that the reason why he wasn't wearing his ring is because his fingers were too big. And she goes, my man is a big man. And now she wears it on a necklace. Now he wears it on a necklace.
The wedding ring is not fitting him. My man is a big man. I would KMS if someone said that about me.
Lisa gets called out for being like sort of abrasive and cold, and she goes, you know, it's really like an East Coast versus West Coast thing. I'm a fucking bulldog. I get it.
I love it. I truly find I have no issue with anything Lisa Barlow has ever said or done.
She's a native New Yorker. This is just how it's done. People in the West Coast are a little more sensitive.
She's busy all the time. She's the queen of Sundance. She's literally the star of the show and the queen of Sundance at the same time.
Hello? Yeah, move that over there. Move that ottoman over there. Hello? Yes. Yes, we need plates. Where are the plates?
She has a lot going on.
They
showed like a clip of Whitney and Heather at a dinner in Bermuda, and you just see Whitney in the corner. She goes, it's like Heather talking in the clip, and Whitney goes, she spun that so well there.
She was really...
She was at odds with everyone at a different time this season.
She's very therapized, and I think she's like very therapy-brained right now, and I think it's just like she's exacting her... the dominance that she felt maybe she'd lost with whatever trauma or her control. And I appreciate this Hillen part of her journey.
I'm
this
glad
part
that of her she's Hillen, but I'm also like...
Oh, I like her getting into... I like when she...
You
gets,
like when she...
I think it's fun. Because she's... Never forget her at her opening going, Lisa Barlow, shut up. Never forget Lisa. They didn't really, I guess we'll get to it, but that fight scene between Lisa and Monica, when Lisa stares at Monica for a second, gathering her thoughts, in the middle she goes, I didn't say that.
A true comedian.
Monica
goes, Meredith, watching these clips back, like, do you see... Or think that you might have, like, used... Do you see, like, the point that the girls are making? She goes, actually, quite the opposite.
Of course.
And then reads her documents. And then it was like, there will be no getting through to Ms. Marks.
No. She's...
I love it when they're like, when it's like we each process things in our own way, so it's okay for us to each be just the way that we are, because that's our individual experience. And then everyone kind of has to agree with that, but it's also like, no.
Yeah. No accountability, basically.
Mm-mm.
They talk about Monica's business, which I'm glad they...
Finally, blanket truthers coming out of the fold. Heather goes, ordered blankets, never arrived.
And then Monica goes, you know, when COVID started, my business went down. And then Whitney goes, funny, my business boomed. And then she said that since being on the show, her business exploded and she has no resources. Again, poor Monica. She doesn't have enough fabric. So it's really hard for her. So there's a big back order. So that's why you're...
Bitch, go to the fabric store and cut some squares and ship them.
I said, funny, that's exactly when my business started booming. I was like, Whitney, is your business still even around?
Yeah, where is that business now? Yeah, I love Andy going, well, you get $6,600 a month in child support, so that's good. And she's like,
yeah. Oh.
Always something.
Then we got to Angie, the gay gate, her husband Sean being called out for being a DL dom top for Twinks of Utah. And she goes, you know, when we first got married, people would come in and they'd be like, who's this person? This guy's so hot with his great legs. He must be gay. And then they'd say, no, his wife's down there cutting hair. So we established to everyone that we were straight and married. And it was never talked about again. And they cut to Monica, who's laughing. Because I'm like, okay, I agree with that. I'm sure people have talked about it since.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, but then this rat crawled out of a sewer and started talking about it here.
I love. She did with a rat that crawled out of the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And then... they fight and fight and fight about it. They try and come for Meredith and be like, why were you insinuating when you said the rumors and the nastiness?
Which she was.
She was.
And she will not fucking admit it. And that's totally expected. And I'm like, I almost appreciate how, like, the denial. But, like, she goes, I never said anything. And then Angie goes, I really think you were speculating on Sean's sexuality, Meredith. I'm sorry.
And then she reads exactly what she said, and she's like, I said about the husband. And then Lisa goes, well, that's semantics. And, like, I wish Meredith would just, like, give it up. Like, enough. Just say, like, yeah, that's what you were doing.
Also, as Meredith is reading her transcript or quoting, like, talking about the rumors, you hear Whitney softly going, the rumors. Nastiness.
Rumors and nastiness. And then everyone fights and fights and argues. And then Angie goes, you're like, you fucking trash. She goes, spending your kids' money on a fucking purse, to Monica. And I was like, hell yeah.
And she goes, my kids are off limits. Don't you fucking say anything, you fucking piece of shit.
People love when, like, called out to, like, bring their kids into it.
Mm.
Like, and make that, like, the big offensive thing.
Yeah, as if
also
being...
I'm like, spending your kids' money, that purse was, like, maybe $300 max.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I guess it was $6,600 of child support.
But also, like, as if being on a reality show isn't gonna psychically harm your kids. Like, you're already harming your kids, so, like...
As if being reality Von Tees isn't gonna psychically harm your kids.
So, like, don't pretend, like, someone calling out that, like, maybe you did something irresponsible is, like, so bad.
I have to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. I just really only want them to talk about reality Von Tees.
Yeah.
I don't really care about anything else that's happened this season.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember anything else that's happened this season. The only thing I want is for them to talk for hours and
ad
hours
nauseam
about reality Von Tees.
LD's definitely coming out.
She is.
Well, she talks about in that short, that video that got leaked.
Oh, yeah.
She was
does.
Like,
thank God.
She
oh,
said,
yeah.
She's like, you fucked up the reunion to Monica.
She's going to throw her daughter under the bus.
I can't
Deserved.
Wait. Deserved.
I need Mary to be out and then dress some people down. I love bringing Mary out on Monica's behalf. In the teaser for next week, Monica's like, they're like, what does she say? She's like, Lisa and Whitney are, like, against me. And Mary's, like, unacceptable.
I also love there's a clip of Mary at some event right before Christmas, like some Bravo event, and she goes, they go, what do you have to say about the reunion? And then Mary is silent for a minute. She goes, pray for Monica. Pray for Monica. That's all I ask.
I also loved them being like, where's Jack right now? Like, I saw that recently Jack was in California, and Lisa goes, he bounced on his mission. He bounced. I love that for her.
But then he's there now.
Is he, though?
Yeah. She's been posting photos, and he was in the hospital before Christmas for some kind of infection. But there was one photo she posted of him in some kind of, like, Colombian market, and it actually looked superimposed. And I was like, I had a truther moment where I was like, did Lisa's cybersecurity team, like, create an image to, like, make it seem like he's in... Because now it's like she has to keep the ruse up.
Yeah, like, what's the truth? Did he bounce? Did he come back?
Maybe he came back and then went later.
Maybe she's saying, like, he bounced and went on his mission.
I also could see, like, maybe he just wasn't ready to go at that time, so he, like, postponed it for a few more months.
Yeah.
I think he's there.
I don't know. I don't actually think that I follow her.
I actually don't even care.
I don't care. The only thing I care about is Reality Von
Teese. Is Ms. Von Teese.
And Mary. Mm-hmm. And LD. And everyone coming for Monica. And maybe her crying, but mostly her just being a villain.
Yeah, I don't want her to cry.
With, like,
I want
anger
her to...
and hate.
Yeah.
And, like, then hoping that she causes mass chaos.
Yeah.
Stob style. Like, I need her to get so crazy, and I feel like she will. I feel like if given a long leash, there's no limit to the chaos that she can sow.
I want her to go, like, Stob season 2 reunion with, like, bringing out the manic, like, the wig head to demonstrate. And then I want
her to bring a thug into the mix, like Danny Provenzano. I need her to bring out a Danny, and because she fears for her safety, which I feel like could happen with her.
I want to hear someone a la Teresa saying, don't bring up my family. Oh my God, Joe Gorga, guys. Really fast before we end, he got thrown out of his son's wrestling match because he tried to fight either the referee or the guy or the kid that his son was wrestling.
Is there video?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I need that. I miss those Italians. Ejected. What? I just got onto northjersey.com and I thought this video was like the video of him getting ejected. And it's a video of a Montclair employee inspecting a home that he's flipping. It's like a street video.
Listen.
Northjersey.com. They have good Google search. Okay, here we go. TMZ. Dun, 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 dun. I would never want my kid to wrestle.
No way.
I would never want to watch this, my child.
Go in!
God, I can just imagine how that gym smells. You know that smell?
So, like, imagine just having to, like, going to all your, like, kids' events like this. You have to go sit in gyms and, like, sit on a soccer field.
Swimming. Here it comes. God, this video. Just fucking get to it.
Is this their son that they dressed up like a little bat and left on the doors? God.
Gino?
They're all grown up now. It's Gino.
Here he comes.
Starting.
So hot-blooded. The Gorga rage.
The Gorga rage runs hot in their veins.
I bet Teresa loved that.
She's classic. That's just him. Gino's opponent that day excessively slammed him on the mat, not once, but twice. And not just that, but he shot a dirty look at Joe upon being declared the winner. We're told the kid stuck his tongue out right at Joe at this moment.
Don't.
If there's one thing you cannot do to a Gorga or a Judais, it's stick your tongue out at them.
I believe that people probably target kids of parents whose parents are on these shows, like, to fuck with them a little. I could see that happening.
Yeah, but you can't taunt.
But you can't.
You can't taunt a Gorga or a Judais and also expect to get the fuck away from it.
But you also can't come for a teenager when you're 50 years old.
But if you,
it's like the
if
slap.
You even look at a Gorga,
I know.
Or a Judice in the wrong way, you're playing with fucking fire.
There were, I remember when I swam, there were some parents that got thrown out of meets. Like, it's a thing.
Oh yeah, I think parents do be getting thrown out, but
pray for Gorgas.
Damn, this hothead caught in the act. Here's another video,
another angle.
There he comes. I need a close-up of this kid's little face.
Oh my god. His son was probably so embarrassed.
Yeah, humiliating.
God, that sucks. Well, that's going to only get your kid bullied more.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
You got to keep it. I'm just so glad I don't have to go to, like, soccer games.
Ugh.
Or, like, all the...
A town basketball game on a Saturday morning in the winter. Ugh.
My god.
To watch your kid be bad at, like, my parents. Like, they would just... go to take me to watch me not play well.
I know, that also would be so annoying. We're just like, we're going through the motions trying to be supportive,
but just
our,
like,
kid's like flopping at this, and we're cold.
Yeah,
it's freezing.
It's freezing in this fucking gym.
It's Saturday
morning.
It
smells like dust.
Yeah, dust and dirty little kid armpit.
Oh,
and taint.
Ew,
sweaty taint. And now we're here. Oof. I hate my life. Then you have to take them in the car and, like, talk to them after. It's just like, God, being a parent is relentless.
Yeah.
Let's just shout out the cult members.
Our queens.
Our fucking...
salty queens.
Saltiest queens we know. Sarah Elizabeth.
Sarah Elizabeth.
Salty.
Salty.
Never been saltier.
Never been saltier.
Lucy from London. Just as salty
just
as it gets.
Like a margarita
sodium.
Rim.
God damn. Brooke Johansson.
Always salty.
Like a salted almond.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany Ryan Weiss. Danielle McMillan.
McMillan. Salty, salty, salty as a cookie.
Lady Swampbitch
gives
no
fucks.
Lady Swampbitch, salty ass bitch. Lazara.
Yeah.
Never met a Lazara that wasn't salty.
Never met a Lazara that wasn't puckering your lips salty.
Yeah. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Oh.
Sour and salty.
Sour, salty, and a little sweet.
Mary. Salty.
Always.
Eliza Twaddle.
Ugh. Come on.
Mike Earhart.
Earhart.
Yeah. Salty.
Could be a little saltier.
Carrie Oaks. I know Sharon Baum.
We know Sharon Baum is
the saltiest realtor in the game.
In this game.
Owsley.
Mariah Kay.
Kathy West. Salty and Sultry. Rochelle Martino.
Tino. Oh my goodness.
Kit Moore.
Hillary.
Orlando,
the saltiest Orlando there ever is.
Patron of the farts.
Patron of the salts.
Nick Saltburn.
Emily.
Kim Lucas.
And Jeffrey. Pradama. Wait, also the Saltburn discourse needs to end officially.
What's the newest discourse? Just
everyone
people loving it?
Hating it, loving it. It's never been a more wild movie ever, apparently.
I know. The thing about Saltburn, though, is that I was like...
I had fun watching it.
I was mad afterwards, and I was like, that movie is not all that. But then with distance, I'm like, I kind of want to watch it again.
It was fun.
And then I realized, like, this might be a movie that one could watch again and again and again. And there really hasn't been a movie like that in a long time.
So true.
So I have to tip my hat to Ms. Fennell for really doing it.
Emerald
doing
Isle.
Indeed.
Across the ocean, across the pond.
She did that. And I probably will watch it again.
She knows
and
how to
I
make
it. Probably will watch it again and again. And I was like, damn, she got me.
She did.
She got my ass.
She got all her asses.
Guys, stay safe out there.
Stay sexy and stay salty.
And till next time.
Bye, Von Tees.
Love and light.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.